Hi, hallo. Ah, wir haben Ton. Hi, I would like to introduce you to the XMPP, aka Jabba, protocol. Let's begin. No?
Jetzt tut gar nichts.
Ah. Okay, first the prerequisites. XMPP is the protocol which is standardized by the IETF in RFC 3920 and the following. And because XMPP is hard to pronounce, I'll just call it Jabber here. It is not the same. XMPP is more advanced and features TLS everywhere and so, but in this talk I'll just pronounce Jabber because it's easier. And please accept my apologies for my bad English. It's not my native language and I'll try to do my best. Okay, the purpose of this talk is to give a smooth introduction to this protocol and the generic XMPP XML routing framework, because XMPP, aka Jabber, is just more than an instant messaging network. You can do so many things. For example, just route small chunks of XML between entities in this network. For example, a Jabber-based server monitoring system is imaginable. The second is that Jabber is simple. It is a very simple protocol. You can use Telnet as a client for Jabber, and this is a full-featured chat client. Yeah, you just have to do the GPG encryption in your brain, but that's another point. And I would like to give you the knowledge to write cool applications in Jabber. It is really easy to use Python or Perl or whatever language you like and do cool Jabber bots. For example, there's a bot on the server jabber.ccc.de, which does Google and Amazon requests and forward and reverse phone call requests for phone numbers. Okay, some facts about Jabber. It is more than just an instant messaging network. It is a generic XML routing framework. And the paradigm is that you should do all the work on the server, so that is very easy to write clients. Clients should not contain complexity, but it should be contained in the server. One implementation of this paradigm is that Jabber clients don't feature, in the general case, don't feature plugins to use other instant messaging networks, but use server-side transports so that the client just has to talk Jabber and the server translates these Jabber requests or Jabber messages or Jabber presence information to other instant messaging networks. We'll get later an example about the ICQ network and the translation between Jabber and ICQ. One very important point in the Jabber server network design is that it is a decentral network. It is a dynamic network of servers comparable, for example, to the email server network. And it had no central server. You can just do a Jabber server. Yeah, you can operate a Jabber server without a static IP address. You just have to use a DynDNS domain name. And you can operate a Jabber server on this. You can just set it up and you can instantly connect to the whole Jabber network. And it works in sandbox environments, which means if you would like to use a Jabber server in your sandboxed company environment, like for example Hewlett-Packard does, they are operating Jabber servers just for their worldwide network, and they developed special Jabber clients, especially developed for HP. And they are sponsoring the Jabber Software Foundation. That's a very nice thing, I think. A very interesting and important point is the identity in Jabber instant messaging systems. For example, the identity in ICQ is the UEN, the Universal Instant Messaging Number, or Universal? Okay. It's just a number, and it's hard to remember, like a telephone number. The identity in Jabber is, on the other hand, is, like an email address. It features a username and a server name and, for example, a resource name. And everything, you can reach users if you just know the first and the second part. Normally, the user identities in Jabber, also user identities means end-to-end clients, is user at server. That's enough. A Jabber ID can have one of the four forms. For example, my Jabber server, I operate in Jabber server. On the address avalon.hoffentlich.net, And that's the simplest, the most simple form of a Java ID, which means just a server name. And this is a full-featured Java entity. You can address messages to this entity, which means I'll send a message to this server. One could imagine that messages sent to the server are related to all the clients connected to the server. That would be an example for this simple form of Java address. The second form is the general user form. For example, I'm reachable via fd0 at avalon.hoffentlich.net. You can chat afterwards if you like. Another form is the server.tld/resource. This is, for example, if you operate a Java server and your Java ID is entered in the Java config, you could send a message to all the users which are online. For example, if you like to restart the server and be a good sysadmin and inform your users before you restart it, then you would like to inform all the users which are currently online. So you can just write a message to your server /announce/online, and it will be relayed to all the just connected clients. The next and most complicated form is username@server/resource. This means a specific client connection. I as the user fd0@avalon.hoffentlich.net, I am able to connect not only once, like ICQ, but with several Java clients simultaneously. So I can use my Java client on my Macintosh, I can use my Java client on my Linux workstation, I can use my Java client for my Symbian smartphone, and they all connect to the same Java network instantly. You are able to specify on which client the new messages which don't have a specific address, which are addressed to this simple form, on which Java client they appear. You can use priorities for these three connections, for example, and to the connection with the highest priority, new messages are delivered. But if I'm writing, for example, to my friend in Japan via Java, and from my smartphone, it will have the originating address in the form fd0@avalon.hoffentlich.net/smartphone, for example. This laptop is named Necromancer. That's why I use the string Necromancer in the resource. You can define every string you like. The first restriction on these Java ID identities is that the username and the server name are the first and second part in this scheme. Is that user and server must apply? It's like an email address. There are several restrictions on the character set you can use for email addresses. For example, you can't use the German umlauts, R, Ö, Ü, and so on. And the first and second part is restricted in that way. And the third part, the resource, is really free form. You can use every character in Unicode you like, even the Klingon character set, if you like. And that's important to know, because the first and second part are used to determine the server on which the user I would like, or on which the entity I would like to contact is located at. So this server name is resolved in DNS, and the username is also used to look up the specific user in the server. And so it would not be a good idea to use German umlauts in the server name without encoding them with Unicode, and then you get the character set I specified earlier, nearly ASCII. Okay, the Java network structure is really dynamic. You can see here three Java servers in green boxes, for example, my server, and the java.ipobox.net, and the java.ccc.de. The TCC operates an own Java server. If you like, if you care about your privacy, you can just use this server. And the connection in between the Java servers are really dynamic. Every dotted line here is dynamic. For example, there are two clients from my user account, one named fd0@avalon.hoffentlich.net/notebook. That might be my Macintosh here. And the other one on my Linux workstation may be named fd0@avalon.hoffentlich.net/work. So if you address a message to fd0@avalon.hoffentlich.net, it will appear on one of these clients. I'm connected with two clients, That's not a problem because they are distinguishable via the resource string. So if one writes to ft0 at avalon.hoffentlich.net, the client which is connected with the highest priority gets the message. If you write to ft0 at avalon.hoffentlich.net/work, then this client gets the message. You can address my user in generally, and I will receive the message on the client with the highest priority. Or you can just write to a specific client if you, for example, would like to send me a file and you know that this video file is not playable on my Symbian smartphone, so you would perhaps not send me that file on the smartphone, but to the client on the workstation. There are other users in this example network, for example, Pylon, which a few persons of you don't know. This is the press person of the CCC. And if I would like to send a message from this client to Pylon, then I would just address the message to pylon@java.ccc.de and send it to my server. And my server takes care of the message, resolves the DNS name, connects to the Java server which runs at this address, and delivers the message to the user Pylon. And when he's online, the message will be instantly delivered, and if he's not online, the message will be saved at the destination server. So if you don't get an error back and the user is not online, you are sure that the server, that the destination server, has saved the message for later delivery. Okay, and then you can see all the dotted lines here, which means the server network is really dynamic, because after delivering the message to the java.ccc.de server, the connection is terminated, so that there's no static connection in between these things. The DNS resolving retries, and if you just have a DNS host name and a dynamic IP address, you can just use it to operate a Java server. So if after 24 hours or even 12 hours in Cologne, for example, you get your reconnect and get a new IP address, it doesn't matter. You just update your DNS host name and you can instantly continue writing messages via Java, and you get messages delivered. So there is no single point of failure. And when one server, for example my server, is down, everyone who sends me a message get an error because my server is not available, but all the rest of the network still operates. There's no single point of failure. There are several steps which are required to create a connection to a Java server. The first one is easy. It's to create a TCP connection. But it is important that Java isn't restricted to TCP. Even polling via HTTP is possible. There are, I think, standards, but it is not in the RFC. It's just the hint that it is not restricted to HTTP. It's not restricted to TCP. Then at step two, you have to establish a bidirectional XML stream. We'll get to this later, what an XML stream is. Then you have to do, optionally, the TLS handshake. The XMPP RFC it suggests to use TLS on every possible connection. But if you live in countries or you use the server in countries where it is forbidden to use encryption, then you just can't do the encryption here, because of this it is optional. Then you do the authentication to your server, provide your password, or use a zero knowledge proof to authenticate yourself, and then you can do just exchange messages or see if your friends are online. This protocol, the basic things, are specified in RFC 3920. So, what is an XML stream? This is the most important thing in Java. An XML stream is a connection in which two complete XML documents, for example, if this would be HTML, then two HTML documents would be exchanged during a normal terminated XML stream connection. These documents are divided into stanzas. We'll get to that later. There are three main stanzas which can appear in this document. And the time from the opening XML element and the closing XML element is not restricted. You can use just one XML stream for over 24 hours. This XML stream-based design supports asynchronous or event-based program design. You can just use callbacks, like many Java libraries, for example Python or Perl, do, you specify a callback function when a message arrives, and this function will be called ever when a message arrives. So this is an example for an XML stream, for example for a Java client connecting to the server at java.org. At first the client connects, establishes the TCP IP connection, then it sends the XML header and a stream element. That's the opening stream element. And important is that here it has a two argument where the server name has to be. For you can use something like HTTP 1.1 virtual hosts. So you can host multiple logical servers on the same physical machine and on the same physical IP address. You just have to tell your clients to connect to different host names and to use different host names in the two argument. And the response from the server features a from attribute, and there is the server name which has the which is to be used by the client. You can see here the stream element is from the namespace stream, which is defined here, which just means, for the people who does who don't know XML in the details, this means the default namespace, the default vocabulary for the dialogue between the client and the server is Java client. That's because that the server knows this is a client to server connection. For example, in between the servers, there would be the default namespace java.server or java.server. The namespace or the vocabulary prefixed with stream is defined here so that the server knows this is a valid XML stream document. And the version of XMPP is at the moment 1.0. The termination of the connection is very easy. You just send the closing stream element, and the server responds with the closing stream element, and the documents are exchanged, and then the connections close. So there are three main different XML stances which can appear in the connection. These are presence, message, and EQ. This is the central part of all the things I would like to talk later. You can exchange these XML chunks, these XML stanzas in between a connection, and all the things, for example, presence or message, have a two attribute, and there is the destination Java ID, the destination Java entity. So you can just send a message, for example, to a server or to a user or to a specific user connection. For example, the presence stanza, the presence XML element, is for telling other people what your actual presence is. You can there are several attributes, for example, type, the two main classes, I'm available or I'm unavailable. I can send XML stanzas to specific people. For example, I would like just to know my girlfriend to know that I'm showering and the rest that I'm working. So I can just use a presence packet, a presence XML stanza with a two attribute containing my girlfriend's Java ID and send her the presence that I'm showering. We'll get an example in the next slide. The from attribute is added by the server automatically. I don't have to specify it, but when I receive an XML stanza with presence, for example, that Pylon wants me to know that he's online, it has the attribute from with Pylon's Java ID in it. There are sub-elements of the presence stanza. For example, the show element. There are several, I think, four or five subtypes of available. For example, I'm available, but I'm away because I'm working. Or I'm available and I really, really, really want to chat. Then I set the content of the show element to the string chat. And status is a predefined string, for example, showering, or I am working, please don't disturb me. Okay. The usage of the presence stanzas is, on the first hand, exchange presence information. I use list packets to let other people know that I'm available, or if I'm unavailable, or disconnect, suddenly my server sends these presence stanzas to all the people in my roster. To all the people in my contact list so that they know that I am disconnected. The second thing is managing presence subscription. I can use presence stanzas to request presence subscription, for example, from Pylon or other users or other entities in Java network. An example for a presence packet, this would appear inside an XML stream. I can just enter, I can just fire up a telnet client, connect to a server, use the opening stream element shown a few slides ago, and then use the presence stanza as, for example, this thing. The type in this case is optional because the available the type available is the default. I can just use an empty presence packet to tell the server that I'm online now. This is the simplest form. The second example is, for example, if I have if a user with a Java ID user at server.tld/resource, I can receive these packets if user disconnects. That, for example, is a packet generated by the server.tld Java server, and it wants me to know that this user has disconnected. This is the type unavailable. And here, in these two examples, we can see that writing Java clients is really easy because this thing is easy parsable. You can just use, if there is no Java library for your favorite language, for example, Brainfuck, there is no Java client library, so you can just use an XML parser, for example, a Zax-based XML parser, to parse these things. And this is really easy. It's not complicated. You can just parse it. And for example, use just the information provided in the type attribute. You can either get available or unavailable, and you can use it to write a client or write a script which just features the client attributes it uses, for example, to report a temperature somewhere. The next important thing is this, the message stanza. This is the central thing when you exchange messages, as the name suggests. It has important attributes, for example, to or from, and several types. Normal means a normal chat message. Normal means a normal message, which has a subject and a body. Chat means a classic instant messaging chat box. It is specified in the standard how the clients have to appear, these different types. Then there are group chat and headline and several others. Group chat means a message which comes from an IRC-like chat. And headline is an event like my favorite news site has a new item on it, for example, Slashdot. There are several services in the Java network which just provides notification when a new headline has arrived. The message stanza has several children, for example, subject, body, thread, or anything else. This shows the flexibility of the Java network. You can just put any other element in it, declaring another namespace, and just put any other content in the Java into Java packets. It is routed by the server, so you can, for example, add a GPG signature to your messages. Then you would add an X element to your messages, declared with a namespace. There are several Java enhancement proposals for GPG encryption, for example. And it is routed by the Java server. You don't have to care that the packets or the things you put in the message stanzas, they arrive at the destination. The Java server takes care of it. A message example is, for example, this thing. A message element to saddam@java.gov.iq with the type normal, and the subject weapons of mass destruction, and the question, hey, do you have any weapons of mass destruction? That would be a valid Java message. And for example, the response might be a message which I receive from the from the server with a tool gvb@whitehouse.gov from saddam@java.gov with his resource string, for example, type normal, and the subject and the body, no, I don't have any. That would be a valid Java message exchange. The third XML stanza which might appear in an XML stream is the IQ stanza, which stands for information or query. These are packets, for example, if you want to know which Java version a client, a specific client or server supports, then you would send an IQ stanza. Or, for example, there is a feature called server-based message filtering in Java. and you can use these IQ packets to manage your Java filter rules. We see that later. The attributes are a type. This is very important. There are four values of type. Get and set are the Java equivalent of HTTP get and post. With get, you retrieve some information. With set, you set some information. You push it to the server. Result, you always receive a result packet to a packet with the type get or set, or an error. When an error occurs, it is delivered in an IQ XML stanza, so you can easily parse it. There are other attributes, for example, two. If this is required or not depends on the type of the IQ packet. If I would like just to know my server or just query the version of my server, then I don't have to enter a two packet, because if I send an IQ packet without a two attribute to my server, it automatically sets destination to itself. A from attribute is set by the server, and there are various children elements which can appear. It depends on the type of packet. An example is I send an IQ packet with the type get and an unique ID. And I'm querying the XML vocabulary, the XML namespace, Java EQ filter. This is to retrieve my filter list from the server. And the answer might be IQ from, this is my own username set by the server, type as result, the ID from the packet on the slide before, and a query element from the namespace I queried earlier, and a list of rule elements for my filter list. This, for example, is a filter list for my boss, which just says moin to me, and then for hours just says nothing, and I'm really annoyed by this thing, so I entered this rule. When the body matches moin, my Java server is just replying Tag auch, and then is continues delivering the message. So just when my boss enters moin to me, my server replies Tag auch to him, so that he don't feels that I'm ignoring him. Okay, questions? Yeah, just try. Do we have microphones? Okay, no questions. So that, how many time have I left? I would like to demonstrate a bit, but I have to, I have to create a tunnel to the outside world, because the network of the BCC is very restricted, so that no Java connection is possible, which was very annoying by yesterday when I'm trying to create nice foils for you. So I'm just going around to get these cables, and I think we have 5 minutes for creating the tunnel and rebooting and so on, and then we can demonstrate some features. Okay, thanks so far. Können wir den Beamer-Anschluss anmachen? Okay. Ja, nein, ich habe ja da dann das Netz, das ist ja nicht das Problem. Wir müssen halt nur darüber gehen. Können wir den anderen Beamer-Anschluss anmachen? Geht das? Okay. I think that won't work. I'll just try the wireless LAN. No wireless LAN? Still no wireless LAN? Ah, okay. So, thanks for listening. I just can't do more. I would like, really like to demonstrate it, but I don't think this is possible.
Also wer benutzt es, wer hat noch, möchte eine ID, wer möchte einen Workshop machen und wer ist an Textmode-Client interessiert und sagt noch ein bisschen was über JCC.
Okay.
Ja?
Yeah. Can we get some statistics? Who is actually using a Java server or a Java, the Java network? Hey, cool. I would really like to do a workshop some in 3 days because there is just no usable Java console client. For example, are you interested? Cool. Okay. Perhaps we can meet later. I started a project called JCC, the Java console client. It should be a Java client written in Python using the Twisted framework, and actually it's installed because I don't have any time left because I'm started studying. So perhaps we can meet later and try to get some people interested in helping out programming these console clients. There is actually a console client named CJC or something like that, or JCJ, something unpronounceable. Santa ICQ sucks. Duh. Santa ICQ sucks, really sucks. There is bad documentation. The Java part is really, really ugly. For example, Sven was unable to request authorization from me for around half a year or so. Santa ICQ is an ICQ client, not a Java client. And Santa ICQ has some plugins to do other networks. And the Java part, I think, is really ugly. All the nice Java features, you are unable to use these features in Santa ICQ. For example, GPG encryption via the Java standards is not possible with Santa ICQ. And I would really like to have a full-featured Java console client. You can just use SSH to log in home and enjoy chatting via Java, via a secure connection. Perhaps we can meet after the talk somewhere here around, if you would like to program a Java client in Python. Okay. Yeah. Thanks so far.
Ich glaube, diese Gelegenheit nehme ich jetzt mal.
So, who else is using Santa ICQ? Please put up your hand. Santa ICQ users? Not many? Just one? Little, so Santa ICQ does Java too, but not very well. So Santa ICQ is nice for ICQ. It does also understand Yahoo, AOL, and a lot more. The point I'm trying to make here is that the author recently has moved to Berlin. So Konst, if you are here, please show up. No, I don't see him. Anyway, Konstantin Kliagin recently moved to Berlin. This is your chance to contact him, to speak to him personally, and to tell him how it sucks. No. Okay, that's not very nice, because let's be frank about this. There are not too many text mode clients who do such a lot of protocols. So what we are looking for is either a better Santa ICQ or an even better alternative. Anyway, I was trying to get some features in with him. I didn't succeed, probably a fault on my part, but still, he's in Berlin, and I hope to have a meeting with him and probably show the program to you if possible. So, unfortunately, as we don't have any net available, we cannot show it to you if you don't know it by now. but please do install Center ICQ, give it a try, and then please tell Const about, please add key binding and some method to hide the log window or to make it even better. Anyway, I would like to see that more people are using it, help improving it. There's also a fan site, centericq.de, and Wolfram Schlich happens to be here in Berlin too. He is the he's the maintainer of the website. So please give it a try. Please give some feedback on the mailing list, and hopefully we have a meeting later on to discuss the program and help improving it. Thank you for listening, and hopefully if you're interested in the text mode client for Jabber, JCC, then please help out this guy here to make it happen. Thank you very much. Yes, please gather around for more questions and helping out with Jabber.